Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, listener dear! I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew, and welcome to an episode of Pappy's Flatshare, Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Oh, and what an episode we have for you today. Every so often in the Beef Brothers Cold Cuts universe, a new star arrives in the firmament and burns bright across the night sky, and people think, wow, nothing's ever going to be the same again. And I got that feeling with our guest today, Steve Bougeia, a newcomer to the Pappy's universe. But what an ep.
It's true.
It's really true. That's such a lovely intro.
That's a really nice intro. It actually made me well up.
He's right there, Cross.
I don't know what it was.
You're welling up or throwing up there.
I'm a bit of both, a little from column A.
I should say I've put strychnine in Crosby's tea because his replacement is Steve.
As long as my job goes to another slightly nerdy white man, it's fine. The equilibrium is maintained. We had real fun chatting to Steve. What a nice bloke, and what a funny comic. And as we say at the end of this episode, he's got a new sitcom he's just written, and it's going to be on in August. Look out for buffering when it comes to ITV2. It looks like, I mean, I've only seen the trailer, I've not seen any of the episodes, but it looks like it's going to be very funny. It's with Ian Sterling, good chum of the show. Mm. So check it out. But also, he's a brilliant stand-up as well. If he's ever in your area doing comedy, go and see him.
Yeah,
he's there. Obviously, because it's Ian Sterling, their sitcom is going out immediately after Love Island to try and capture the Love Island crowd.
Yeah,
which Steve sounded quite excited about because it'll mean they have nice big figures. But
you inherit an audience. Yeah,
nothing would terrify me more than my sitcom inheriting the Love Island audience. Fuck
well, no,
me.
Listen, I'm the Love Island audience. Genuinely, I was just chatting to Charlie about our sort of Love Island watching strategy. In that we now go to bed so early. What I'm going to do is it starts tonight. We're recording this on Monday. It starts tonight, so we're not going to watch tonight's. Then we're going to always be a day behind watching it while we're having our dinner. So that's the plan.
I'd say you're a Love Island audience, but you're not the Love Island audience.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised.
With all due respect.
No, I think you'd be surprised how diverse the audience is what I'm saying. I'm a member of a extremely broad church, and I also do watch Broadchurch as well. Not on ITV2.
I would take inheriting the Broadchurch audience any day of the week because most of the Broadchurch audience don't know how to use Twitter. You're going to get a lot less reaction from the Broadchurch audience that I think online than the Love Island one.
I mean, I haven't seen the sitcom yet. It could be a very much in line with the Love Island crowd.
It's, well, we should say, I mean, I only know a little bit about it. The basic premise is it is about a bunch of extremely physically attractive girls and guys who are transported to a villa and have to couple up. So
when you said huge figures, that's what you were talking about.
I was talking about the beefy blokes and bodacious babes that are going to be on the yeah.
Oh, bodacious babes, you are the target audience.
I'm not going to lie. Absolute bodacious babe. You haven't been writing a voiceover,
myself.
Have you? You haven't got the gig, have you yet?
I haven't, but I have been pitching a new Bill and Ted movie. That's what I've been doing recently, I think. So anyway, yeah, enjoy Steve. He's a wonderful guy and a new star shining in the firmament of the Pappy's universe. Here he is, Steve Bougeia.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the soil.
So, Steve, before we get started, thanks for coming on the show, firstly.
Thank you for having me.
Talk us through... Now, I texted you, I think, at quite a reasonable hour to ask if you would come on the podcast. I think I texted you maybe around, let's say, was it nine? Maybe not too late to send a text, I would say. And and before I went to bed, I was on red. So I thought, well, he's seen it, but he's not that bothered. And then I woke up the next morning and you responded, I think, at 3:26 a.m.
Yes.
So you're awake. So it's not like you're completely nocturnal. You're awake at sort of nine-ish.
Mm.
Yeah, you were then still awake some sort of 6 hours later.
Oh, look, here, I'll talk you through exactly what happened, Matt, if you want.
I'd love to know.
I was out with some friends. Oh, wow. I got the text message. I even commented to my friends going, oh, Matthew Crosby's asked me to go on his podcast. That's nice. Didn't respond at that point. I then got very drunk. For various reasons. to celebrate
celebrate the call up.
The podcast booking. And and then I got home and I remember very vividly, Matt, I was in my lounge. I wasn't feeling great actually. I was just sat on my own. And then I thought, yeah, I want to do the podcast. I think I've decided. And that's why I replied at 3:30 in the morning.
You've got to work through these things.
You need Dutch courage to say yes. I can understand that. He's quite an intimidating man to correspond with.
I don't want you thinking I'm just readily available with 2 days' notice to do a podcast, you know? I wanted you to sweat on it a bit for an evening.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, that would have worked fine were it not for the fact that I go to bed at about 9:45. So I think we've got very different... It's mad that we've managed to find a time when both of us are awake to record this.
Now, you know what? I'm not some mad party animal. It was a one-off bad
evening,
actually.
Way, Steve. Doesn't say in that way.
It was a one-off... Well, it was a one-off, what, Monday?
It was a Tuesday night, yeah.
It was a one-off Tuesday. It's just a one-off Tuesday.
Come on. It's like they say, it's a Tuesday night somewhere, guys. Come on.
We should just say it's currently 3 a.m. while we record it. Right.
That's when I engage with pappies. That's the only time I'm willing to talk.
Well, you're very welcome to come on the show. So, we know you're a party animal, but what kind of a flatmate are you? What's your flatmate setup?
Well, I've actually just moved flats. I've just moved in with my good friend Tom from university. It's very convenient. He is doing a lot better than me in his career and owns a flat.
Wow.
So I am benefiting from that. Yeah, it's so good when that happens. Like it's nice to get to the age now. Like a lot of my friends are married and happy, which is sad. But the good thing is that a lot of my friends are now doing well enough for me to sponge off them. So I now live in his spare room, lovely big flat in Brixton Hill, and he is never here. So I basically live in a one-bed flat.
Oh, that's ideal.
Wait, does he
not have a bedroom?
What's his setup?
Basically, I've just not seen him. I'm in his bed.
On the sofa?
He has got a bedroom, but he's very rarely in it.
Where's he? What's he up to? Is he a party animal as well? Are you too big on the party scene?
No, he is the opposite. He's a very senior civil servant. I can't say what he does, but he's extremely important in making decisions to do with COVID. And the other day...
Is it Chris Whitty?
Yeah, I remember Chris Whitty, yeah. My good university friend, Chris Whitty.
Finally. It's our link to Chris Whitty.
No, the other day, me and Tom were both working from home, and I was reading an article about toilet brushes, genuinely true, and Tom was on a Zoom call with Chris Whitty. And I was like, this really does put in perspective what we've done with our lives.
What's your article about toilet brushes? Are you in the market for a new toilet brush? Because surely that's his job as your landlord. He should be kicking out the flat with stuff like toilet brushes.
Part of the rental agreement is that I have to do a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to getting new items.
Yeah, he's fighting a pandemic.
Exactly. He's saving the country, and the least I could do is find a shit stick for him that works.
So what was your article? Because I've just recently purchased another toilet brush. I just went for the cheapest option very quickly in the supermarket. We're having a torrid time with it. And we've been talking about toilet brushes in our house. Yeah, like, you know, they're not great objects, are they, really? They have
no,
to do...
No, I've been thinking the devil's about getting work. Rid of ours. We've had it for a long
time.
But
the thing is, you can't just get rid of them, because then how are you going to deal with the excrement? Like, you need a solution.
You need to tag them in.
So what I was looking for is one of the ones with the disposable, you know, like the release things, where you can, you know, at least keep it clean on a more long-term basis. But
no, I don't know what these are. Sorry, no, when you're describing a thing, I don't know what it is. So you,
sorry,
you,
God, is you, it can, like you can take the head off it. You use it once, you press a button, you flush the head, and then you start again.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, you might use it more than once, depending on what you've dealt with. But
Does it clean the pipes on the way down?
That can't be good for the planet, can it?
I haven't really thought too much about whether you're allowed to flush down the... The point is, I didn't get one. I've not got one of them. What I've gone for instead is quite a posh one with a... it's not a little cup. You know the little cups that build up shit water? It's not one of those.
Disgusting.
It's
absolutely disgusting.
It's a big, long cylinder, which at least hides the shit water. So that's... And Tom approved of it, you know, in between meetings about COVID jabs.
And did Witty approve of it?
Witty was a big fan of it.
If anybody knows, you know, he's working at the coal face of germs and viruses. Exactly. He should be all about it. I tell you what, you know, it's one of the few items that moving people, if they're going to move your stuff out of the house, they won't touch it. They won't move your toilet brush. So when we moved house, we only moved like 5 minutes down the road. We'd put all of our stuff into a van and then literally pick up our toilet brush, put it in there, it's hard to transport in a car. One of you's got to hold it between your feet because you don't want to hold it in your hands. One of you's got to hold it between your feet in like the footwell of the passenger seat because you don't want it to go over in the car because you have to throw the car away. So...
Are you sure this wasn't just your toilet brush? Because I'm pretty sure.
They took one look at it and they were like, absolutely not. No, genuinely, it's in the list of things, the things they won't. And all the rest of it is like, you know, stuff that might explode. Or, you know,
great. So how am I going to move all my lit fireworks? Fucking hell.
We bought this house and they left us the toilet brush. And that it is happened. One of those cup ones that collects shitty water. So we've got the previous owner's molecules.
You can't have a second-hand toilet brush, mate. That's
that's what we've been dehumanizing. We've been doing it for the last 4 months. This is literally the comment. You're absolutely right, Steve. My wife turned around and said, "What kind of family are we that we're using somebody else's shitty brush? How can you look our daughter in the eye?" So off I went to Sainos and splashed out £5 on one of the cheapo plastic tubes.
Be careful. If you put it between your feet, it won't splash out.
Yeah, this is it. The thing with toilet brushes, though, is that lots of them, right, we wanted to buy a cheapo one, but lots of the cheapo ones have decided, I'll stick a little sort of plastic diamond on the top to make it look all fancy. Have you seen that? It seems like a lot of them seem to have put like little sort of plastic diamonds on the top. Like we went to Homebase, they all had plastic diamonds on. We went to Wilco, all had plastic diamonds on. Order to sort of make it like, actually, this is quite a classy item we've got here.
So it looks like a scepter.
Exactly. Yeah. You can literally sit on the throne and hold your scepter in one hand. And, you know,
that's quite a nice design. Actually, it's quite a nice design idea.
You could just knight someone with the little stick.
I don't know if I've ever told you the story about my granddad's funeral, but a week after my granddad's funeral, my nan had to have her front garden dug up because shit and shit water was coming up through the front lawn. Ooh. And they traced it all the way down to her front toilet had this really bad blockage. So there was this big buildup of shitty water and it was all coming up through the front lawn. And what they found in the U-bend was the head of a toilet brush, right? Whoa. So the whole family had been at my nan's house before following the, you know, the hearse. So this kind of witch hunt went round of who had blocked nan's toilet.
And who dropped the toilet brush?
I was chief suspect. My mum rang me and was like, if it was you, it's okay, but just admit it, like, you know, we want to know. But anyway, it turns out that my granddad's sister... Auntie Pat.
Pat by name.
As a joke, my granddad used to charge a 20p every time she needed the toilet at her house. It was like their running joke. She'd be like, "I need the toilet, Norm." And he'd be like, "Well, it's 20p. And she'd put it in a jar. That'd be their joke. she went for a poo just as the hearse was pulling up and it wouldn't flush, right? And because she couldn't go out and tell someone that she couldn't flush this poo, she was poking it down with the toilet brush. The toilet brush head came off and disappeared down the bowl, and she just, it was, my granddad had pulled up, his coffin was outside, and so she was like, it's the wrong time to say to someone, I've just stuck a toilet brush down the toilet. So just left it, went off to the creme and just forgot that it had happened. And then a week later, up it came.
What happened to all the 20p's though? Did she, was there not like a jar that could have basically paid for all the plumbing work?
Had
she
not, like,
had she not effectively been sort of paying for this job? You know, she was finally on the, you know, finally in your poor grandfather's passing, getting her money back.
Yeah, exactly right. God, yeah, very funny.
We've got sewage coming up in our garden currently. And
has my auntie Pat been round?
Wait a second. Yeah. You got one of those disposable heads, didn't you? And it wasn't disposable.
No, basically it doesn't. Basically, it will come up, and Thames Water have to come around every single day and pump the feces out of the pipe outside our front door. So I see someone from Thames Water every single day, and they come around, and they came around the other day, and I was having a party. And
of course he was party boy Boujee, of course.
didn't get the invite, but I'm sure it was a good one.
It was only on Saturday as well. I was having a birthday party, and there was
happy birthday.
I had this huge industrial pipe that was pumping out shit from my front door, and people were just walking past this Thames Water man, and then the Thames Water man knocked on for the part and said, we're gonna have to come back, we've got to dump this lot, it's a big one this week.
It's more than 20p's worth.
Yeah, exactly.
They must be able to get to the root of
going to dig up the road next week to solve the actual problem, but in the for
just
now,
because you poo
it.
So big.
Yeah. Boosh. I mean, it does correlate with when we moved in, so it's difficult to say who's to blame. Well, ruined the party.
This is all the working from home, though. I mean, it's a problem, isn't it? In that household loos, it's a bit like, and I've talked about this before, that I'm going through slippers at a rate of knots more than I expected to. You know, it's the household loos are under a tremendous strain now, because people who would have gone out for, you know, 10 hours in their day to work.
Yeah.
Are now using, you know, having their ablutions in the loo in the house. Have we thought about this?
30%.
Exactly. Increase. Are we going to have like a Goonies style situation, you know, where suddenly houses are going to rocket into the sky from the amount of feces building up under the, you know, under the pipes? Is that what's going to? I mean, these are the sort of things we should be solving here on this podcast.
Thames Water will be around any minute to come pump my shit, so I can ask him whether it's a big problem in the area.
If it's across the capital.
We should get this finished, actually, before the pumping starts, because it'll play havoc with our sound quality. From the sorting out
your pee! Right, I'm going to start today with this message from Crystal, insurance deductible beef. And she's got in touch via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. And what a great way to get in touch.
Oh, yeah.
Crystal writes, last spring, new neighbours moved into the house right next to mine, and in the month or two after they bought the house, their basement flooded with sewage twice. So again, we're right on topic here. It's a real themed episode here.
She lives next door to two guys, a civil servant and a comedian.
Always having parties.
One of our next door neighbours we've nicknamed Chris Shitty. Their basement flooded with sewage twice, and the heavily pregnant wife in the couple got a terrible case of poison ivy while clearing out the yard. Don't hear a lot about poison ivy, do you?
Don't, no.
What I mean, to the point where that is the first time I've ever heard poison ivy, you know, in a real situation that isn't like the Batman movie.
Sorry, did she get a bad case of poison ivy because of the sewage?
No, I think those are unrelated. Basement flooded with sewage. Okay. She went out into the back garden to clear out the back garden, got poison ivy.
Oh, that's trench foot, poison ivy.
I know, it's bad. Combo. Isn't it? One gout. So naturally, I felt even more terrible than I would have when a microstorm knocked the top off my very large backyard oak tree, sending it somersaulting across and into my roof before it landed in our shared driveway and hit the corner of their new house. The entire second floor of my house had to be rebuilt, and in the end, I had to move out for 6 months while this work was being carried out. The damage to their home was obviously much smaller and was covered by my insurance. But in texting with the neighbour about the incident, she frequently mentioned the $1,000 insurance deductible and what a difficult expense that was, on top of having just bought the house and then having so many problems with it. Ooh. She never explicitly asked me for money, but the topic came up a few times in that way, about what a burden the deductible was. In the fog of trauma, and I think my sense that I wanted to do something in the midst of nothing meaningful being done to my own home, not to mention feeling terribly guilty that this cost had been imposed on them, even if it was an accident I couldn't control, I decided to give them $500 to pay half the deductible. Wow. She accepted it happily and thanked me profusely, again mentioning it in the text, what a burden the unexpected expense had been. Okay, here we go. Imagine my surprise when I stopped by the house to meet with the contractor a few weeks later, and these neighbours pulled up in a brand new Mercedes-Benz. They already had a nice car, so it's not as if they're upgrading from a junker, and obviously my $500 wouldn't have given them the ability to buy a luxury vehicle, but it's hard to see that car now and not think about what dire financial straits she said they were in at the time. I obviously don't know the full story. Maybe they want it on a game show. Maybe they're ridiculously irresponsible with finances, and I don't regret giving them the money because it did feel like the right thing to do at the time. My question is this. Because this seems to be their first house, they're meticulous with everything, down to little things like sweeping the driveway regularly in a Sisyphean attempt to keep the leaves off it. I am less so, and I'm now wondering how much guilt-free laziness my $500 gift to them affords me, particularly with the assumption that they didn't really need the money in the first place. In my imagination, every time I do something annoying like going too long without mowing the lawn or leaving something in the driveway that should have been put away, they're forced to think, ah, but she did give us all that money. I'm thinking I've bought myself 2 years of being kind of a shitty neighbour before I start trying a little harder, but I would welcome any feedback on whether I'm correct. Thanks. Crystal.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Crystal.
Amazing.
That is a phenomenal story. And a lot to go on there. What a journey, yeah. You think it's going to be about the sewage? It's not about the sewage. You think it's going to be about the poison ivy? It's not about
unrelated.
That. It's just God is in the details and Crystal does not spare us them.
And the God was Zeus.
Yeah. Let's pick through it. First of all, Steve, if you're in that situation, would you have paid any of the money?
No, I don't think I would have actually. But that's my own personal financial situation. I guess if I don't know how much money has Crystal got, like she never really elaborated on what her bank balance is, but
we do always ask our listeners, if you do get in touch, please tell us what your current bank balance is
and your account number.
Mother's maiden name, including savings accounts,
last three digits. Yeah,
we are just an elaborate phishing scheme, Steve. That's what this is.
I think that she's actually done the right thing. You know, I probably wouldn't have done it because I wouldn't have felt that guilty. I would have been like, look, accidents happen, you know, trees fly around.
Yeah.
You got to deal with that. You know, that's not my... But I think in terms of keeping the relationship for the long term, because you've got to assume they're going to be neighbours for a few years and they've already got the sewage system. That's, you know, not a great start. I think 500 quid is probably worth it because they're going to be taking Amazon orders in for them. You know, like there's stuff they could... It's worth it just for
you
that.
You need your neighbours on side, don't you? You do need your neighbours on side. But for how long? How long's the subscription?
I'd say 5 years. I'd say $100 a year.
Mm.
I think $100 to be a lazy neighbour gets you, you know, like a year's worth, I'd say. So I think you can relax into this and have 5 years. I will say this. I think... it was a force majeure, right? It wasn't like anything to... It was a storm that hit a tree that hit their house.
Yeah.
And whether you were there or not, that would have happened, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yes.
Absolutely, you are quids in. You gave them that 500 quid. You didn't have to do that. You are up.
Well, quids out.
You're 500 quids out. But you had no obligation to do that.
Mm.
But I will say this, is the car because they're having the kid? Like, they probably had to get that car anyway. I don't think that car... I know they said it's a Mercedes-Benz, but I, in my head, I don't think it's like a fucking, you know, convertible two-seater, we've won the lottery kind of car. Is it like... Is it that they've had a kid or they're having a kid, so they've bought...
They had to buy...
They've probably got it on lease, and it's... Yeah, they've got it on lease and it's £500 a month.
They've got it on lease. You've bought them a month of that car.
Which means you should be able to borrow it whenever you like for the next 30 days.
You get a month's worth of use of the car, basically.
Yeah.
Or 5 years of being a lazy neighbour.
You know what? I think five is you could go further than that. I reckon 10 years. Because think about this, right? That's $50 a year. If your neighbours, right, were giving you every Christmas a Christmas card with $50 in it, that's good for the rest of the year, isn't it?
If they knocked on the door and said, look, mate, if I bung you 50 quid, will you just lay off about my untidy front garden? You'd be like, fucking A, mate.
Of course I will.
I'll take that 50 notes any day of the week. So, you know, that...
But I would also be wondering why they're not using that money to pay for a gardener. They could have just solved the problem.
Yeah, but 50 quid's not going to go that far for a year, is it? It's you're paying 50 quid every... You know, every month to a gardener. There's no way.
It'd be a really funny thing to do, to move into a house and knock on next door and be like, is 50 quid, just leave me alone? I'll be back this time next year. 50 quid. We don't have to chat. We don't have to do the niceties. You just leave me the fuck alone and don't bother me with any of this shit. There's 50 quid. It'd be a hell of a thing to call.
I like the idea of that, yeah. I mean,
I'd have a lot of respect.
My worry would be that once I started, I'd never stop and I'd bankrupt myself. I'd just be walking around with like 50 quid in loads of different envelopes. Every time someone came up to me and wanted to have a chat, I'd say, look, here's 50 quid, just piss off. Until eventually I'd be living on the street.
Yeah, I mean, how different is this to just paying off people who have accusations against you? It's not far off.
You make a good point there. Yeah, yeah.
It's multiple neighbours. I've got about six neighbours that I would potentially have to pay off. That's a £300 expense.
Oof, that's too much.
Yeah, you know, that's two Camden Jonglers, isn't it? Like, that's a lot of, you know, a lot just to pay off your neighbours.
To use the parlance of the club comic there. It's great. Great to have live comedy back.
Matthew.
Also, it shows how long we haven't gigged for, because Jonglers has been around about 5 years. Yeah.
I was going to say, it's about 12 podcast records, isn't it? I think that's about right.
to the guys with the garden, do you feel responsible then for...
To the guys with the garden.
To the neighbours for the state of your garden.
Do I feel responsible to my neighbours?
Yeah, like if you haven't mowed your lawn for a couple of months, would you be like, oh, what would the neighbours think?
A little bit, yeah.
If everyone else's garden is looking good on the street...
You definitely notice.
And
if yours is...
And
the...
yours is bringing the neighbourhood down, then, yeah. You know, if your bushes are going over the fence and stuff like that, then...
Yeah.
Luckily
for me, we've got a crack house. We've got a crack house just like four doors down.
That is lucky.
It really takes the heat off us.
That's it. This is maybe Crystal's problem. Maybe she's moved into too
Crystal
nice
Beth.
An area. that's her nickname. Maybe she's moved
Steve,
into too
is
nice
that where
area.
You, is that where you are till 3:30 in the morning? Be honest.
Yeah, at the crack house, yeah. They're nice guys. They suggested I do the podcast, actually. They're the ones who convinced me.
We've had all those guys on already, actually. Yeah, all the other guys in the crack house. You're the last guy from the crack house to complete the set.
Okay. So I think the answer to this is an amount, isn't it, really? I think. I think that's the solution, is either ask to use their car for a month. That's one of the options. Or allow yourself 10 years of being a shitty neighbour.
I've got another plan.
Oh no!
Right, it's a slightly different plan, and it verges into what you'd call the world of the illegal. But it's a plan nevertheless. Okay, right. You go round their garden, and just start sawing away very imperceptibly. You know, like with a very thin wire
or just saw away at the bottom of their tree.
A cheese cutter?
Like a cheese cutter, yeah, yeah. Like a cheese cutter.
I think your fingers are going to go before the trunk does.
You do it a bit by...
cheese cutter their own?
You sure shank it, but you don't do it all over. You don't do it all overnight. You do it bit by bit. Every time you get a chance, you know they're away for the weekend, getting their cheese cutter away.
You sure shank it. You go over there, you carve "Red was here" into the trunk, and then you consider suicide on their driveway.
No, but you... But you're doing it at the angle so that it's going to hit the corner of your house, right? Right? And then they're going to think, oh, right, well, we're going to have to pay them some money. But then when you talk about your insurance deductible, you make it 1,500 quid or 15,000 quid, whatever it will be. And that way, then you get the money back.
I was thinking a bit more that scene in The Big Lebowski where John Goodman just gets a tire iron and just smashes up the car.
This is what happens when you fuck a man in the arse. Yes, of course. Yeah. Like that, fuck a stranger, you know, in the arse. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'd have a different vibe. It'd have a different vibe to it.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of a similar, you know, don't let them get away with this kind of message.
Right. So again, but, yeah. if Crystal, if you're thinking of committing criminal damage, there's either cheese wire the tree or a straighter route,
or which is cheese wire the car.
Cheese wire the car.
Either way, it's got to be a cheese wire.
Yeah, it's got to be a cheese wire. We've got all this cheese wire we've got to get rid of.
If you're thinking a 10-year kind of leeway of being a shit neighbour.
Yeah.
Is that going to carry over if they move house? You know, like, you have to explain to the new neighbour that you did pay off the previous neighbour.
You've got three years
left on the contract. You know, like, how?
Or you have to go on and go like, sorry, you're going to have to pay me back $250 for the for the years in lieu.
Yeah,
yeah.
Had I known, I'd have been like doubly bad for half the amount of time.
It's protection money again. You go to them and say, look, it's 250 quid. Otherwise, I'm the neighbour from hell. For two
otherwise,
and a half
I'm going to cheese cutter your fucking tree.
Yeah,
mate.
You can hold the cheese cutter in your hands as you're saying it to them. Just be sort of working it back and forth, just, you know. Just to
what, on your own neck.
Not on your own neck. I'm just saying, like, into the
hereditary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, have we thought of this? Crystal, have you considered cheese wiring your own head off?
Yeah,
it's going to send a message. It certainly is.
I don't know what the message is. It's a very confused one.
Cheese wire your own head off, but make sure your head lands on the top of their car. Stand on the top of their porch. And as they're leaving,
it was Mercedes Benz, wasn't it? Beef solved.
Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Steve, you've got one of these. Would you like to read yours out?
Absolutely. Let me get it up. So,
well,
hi gang, big fan of the show.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
But now could you read the message out from, from the listener?
Lovely stuff.
Thanks.
My partner and I have recently moved into our first home. A really exciting time for us both, and we're absolutely loved our first couple of weeks here. However, each time we visited the house, we commented on our next door neighbours to be strange vibes. Fast forward to the day we actually move in, I pop over to introduce myself to the new neighbour. We learn a bit about each other. Steve is a retired policeman who spends all day chinning biffs on his drive and cleaning his car.
Chinning biffs.
Isn't that the plot?
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether you guys were looking at me going, well, you know what chinning is, Steve. What's chinning?
Well, chinning's like downing something, right? But I don't know what the fuck a biff is.
Well, chinning beers? Really,
chinning a bifter? A bifter? He's not smoking weed, chinning, is he? But you wouldn't chin.
You wouldn't chin a biff.
I'm typing.
Chinning biffs?
You wouldn't steal a car.
I'm typing chinning chin biffs into. No.
How are they spelling B? How are they spelling biffs?
B-I-F-F-S.
Chinning biffs.
I think that's an autocorrect of beer.
I mean, but who's.
Maybe, but.
Who's
typing biffs? Spelling has been excellent otherwise.
Who's typing biffs more than beer? You know, and that it's to the point where it's autocorrecting. That every time you type biff, fancy a biff. It can't, that
I
can't
mean,
be
I think
the case.
She's American. I think he's American, this person, so maybe it's a
okay.
colloquial.
Could right. Be. Chinning biffs.
Anyway, they're chinning biffs, whatever they're. From the neighbour's chinning biffs on his drive and cleaning his car. So he probably isn't drunk if he's cleaning the car. The man literally does nothing else, nothing. He's always on the drive when we arrive home and when we go to work. He's there in the middle of the night and he's there when I first wake up. He loves his car and he looks pretty house proud. There isn't a blade of grass out of position on his drive and his flowers are perfectly arranged. Nothing wrong with that, of course. Of course.
Of course.
When leaving course. For work one day this week, Steve collars me on the drive. All right, mate. I'm going for a Cockney. Because
I was going to say, where is this American disappeared to? A second ago, he said, I think they're American, and now it's...
He grew up in West Ham. He moved out to California.
Yeah.
All right, mate, I need a word with you. All right, mate, I need a word with you.
Is it James Corden?
You know
how James Corden sing a song.
Loves to chin a biff. Wash. Yeah.
All right, mate, I need a word with you. I don't want us to fall out, but your cat has been causing some damage to my property. Ooh. Of course, I was immediately embarrassed and asked to know more. Your cat has been spraying my bushes, killing them, staring at my carp, and even taking a shit in my flower bed. Of course, I can... staring at the carp is an interesting one, isn't it? Of course, I continued the charade of embarrassment. I jokingly suggested that I'd have a word with the cat, but I think this angered him. Steve's now angry. He went on to explain, I found your cat in my kitchen yesterday licking the chopping board. And when he spotted me...
Oh, I love this cat.
Great.
Licking the chopping board. And when he spotted me, he panicked, tried to escape out the window, knocked over the mug tree, smashing several mugs and ripped my blinds.
Fucking hell.
Of course, I was genuinely embarrassed by this and immediately offered to pay any damage that the cat may have caused.
$500.
He then did that dead blokey thing of saying, well, it's not really about the money. It's just not being able to feel relaxed in my own house.
Oh, God. I can't feel relaxed because I'm being terrorised by a cat.
He's under siege from this cat.
I mean, I've started to have my sympathies swung the other way, actually. This neighbour's been absolutely hounded by this cat. Licking his fucking chopping board in his own home.
It's a bit, you know, a licked chopping board is very much like a second-hand toilet brush, isn't it? You've got to bin it.
Yes.
Once you know the chopping board's been licked by somebody else's cat.
Yeah, not your cat.
Not your cat.
Yeah.
Cats, I mean, fucking lick all sorts, don't they? They're always cats, licking, they lick their own bits.
They lick their own bits.
Other chopping boards.
Their own bits. Yeah.
They're always chinning their own biffs with their mouth.
Oh, mate, I was so happy last night I managed to chin my own biff.
Finally, Clarky, after all these years. Did you have a rib removed? That's what they say. Gotta have your rib removed. Anyway,
he goes
on.
He has since suggested that he might need to find a solution to this problem, and I'm sure I spotted a maniacal glint in his eye.
He had a bit of cheese wire, didn't he? He was wearing a bit of cheese wire across his throat.
She was licking my cheese board. I could barely cut the cheese after that. Anyway, go on.
I am now fearing for my cat's safety, and I'm constantly on edge in case they pop into his garden. What should we do? Thanks, everyone. Connor.
Amazing scene.
I mean, what a dilemma.
This is good stuff. I mean, this American
like
beef is good
prime
beef.
Can I just say, I'm not sure this is an American beef. I don't know where you're getting American from.
Yeah, I don't know where I got that from.
The phrase dead blokey doesn't come across to me as being a particularly American phrase.
Mug trees.
But chilling the biff.
Chilling the biff. That's maybe they just spent a little bit of time in California.
Maybe it's Scottish.
Amongst the surfing community.
Could be Scottish.
Yeah.
If it was like, if you found out that in Glasgow they say chilling the biff, you'd be like, yeah, I buy that.
What does it mean though?
I'll buy that so you don't biff my chin.
God knows. This sounds like the premise for the kind of comedy that Robert De Niro makes these days. Do you know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. He is, he's a grumpy man who's shuffling out to get his newspaper off the front lawn, and his newspaper's all chewed up, and up in the tree there's a cat going meow, and he's like, that cat, I'm gonna slot that cat.
I'm watching your cat. Like, it's exactly the kind of thing that De Niro has no problem churning out these days.
There's gonna be at least one scene where the neighbour comes home and finds De Niro is stuck with his head through the cat flap. And he claims that the cat started it all.
Oh, I'd watch this.
I'd watch it, actually.
Catastrophe.
Catastrophe, I love it, yeah. Christ. So, what are we saying? What's the suggestion? What's the solution to this biff-chinning maniac who wants revenge on your lovely cat?
Well, hang on now, I think there's two ways of looking at this, and I think you're looking at it that way. There's another way of looking at it. There's one maniac in this story, and it's the fucking cat, mate. that cat has got issues. It's staring at Carp. It's fucking licking the chopping board.
Staring at Carp is legit. I mean, why else buy Carp if not to stare at them? What's he doing with them?
He's eyeballing them, though, and he's not admiring them. He's not going lovely, relaxing Carp. He's giving that Carp looks like, I'm going to fucking kill you, mate. It's like the fucking, you know, guy Sean, you know, he's the bad guy in prison who's, you know, jumping the queue to use the phone.
I'm very confused at this film now.
Can I say, by the way, one of the least aggressive prison crimes is jumping the queue to use the phone. When I think of my fears about going to prison, way down the list is, what if someone cuts in line when I'm trying to use the phone? It's more like being shanked, mate. What is this?
Well, that's how they're cutting in line, though.
All right, it's shanking in line.
Shanking the line.
Okay, chin your biff now.
Lick your chopping board.
I chin my biff and I shanked in the line. Bougeus chucks the best parties, doesn't he? He really does.
Unfortunately, I was just pumping shit, so I didn't really get to be a part of it.
Right, so I think you've got to look at this cat, I think. Cat therapy. You've got to look at maybe getting a tag on the cat. Get that cat in line, man.
What do you mean
you've
a tag on the
this
cat?
Now.
No, but the cat's just being a cat. The cat will explore. That's what a cat will do.
Cats
want to explore. They want to, you know, if they see some carp, they're going to watch them. They're going to fish.
Do cats have carte blanche? You can't go, well, it's a cat. That cat just beat up my baby. Well,
No.
Licking the chopping board.
It's licking the chopping board. It's marking its territory. It's smashing mug trees. It's staring at carp.
Don't forget it's shitting in the flower bed as well.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge
shit in
the
flower
bed.
What
I'm saying as well is, what kind of noise, like, would, did he startle the cat to the point, like, I've never seen a cat.
You've never seen a cat? Oh, sorry. I was going to say, bloody hell, Clark. You've led a really sheltered
life. What are we talking about right now? I just can't imagine it.
So you've never seen a cat do what? Sorry.
I think he went mental at the cat, and that's why the cat, like, wigged out and
I agree
ripped
with
a blind
that.
And smashed a mug tree. It's not like a normal startled cat just... Yeah.
A cat would just run out the room normally.
Walk into a room and I don't own an animal and there's a fucking animal on the side in my room, I would probably fucking startle that animal.
Just go shoo,
there you go, something like that, and then he fucking
this guy's done. Right, anyway, listen, Steve reckons he's got not just one but two solutions. Talk us through them.
Yeah, I think there's two options here. The cat's life's in danger. There's a
witness relocation.
I think a maniacal neighbour, I would either... You can go one of two ways. You can either buy more cats to really confuse the situation. So I'm talking three or four more cats to just...
You're talking just, cat gang.
I'm saying outnumber the neighbour.
And that's you thinking the cat should all look as close to the original cat as possible, or do you want to get...
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, right.
So it's like they're like doubles. So basically you won't know who's trying to kill.
Like the end of the Three Amigos.
Exactly.
Okay.
And actually, this isn't the worst end to the Robert De Niro film.
No.
Multiple cats. Yes.
Yeah. So that's one solution. I think just confuse him, baffle him. You know, loads of cats. Second option is kill the cat. That's the other option. Yeah. Get rid of the cat yourself. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do it yourself before he gets hurt himself.
So you're saying basically kill the cat in front of the neighbour to show the neighbour who's boss.
Yeah. Cheese wire. Yeah,
like, cheese wire again. Cheese.
You're not going to kill my cat. I'll kill my cat.
Can I just say, of those two ideas, I think I'm more inclined to the buy more cats. I think that more so than murdering a poor defenceless animal. I can't imagine, no matter how annoyed my neighbours got with Cosmo, that I would want to murder her.
Do you not think the middle ground is rehabilitate the cat? Before you execute it, give the cat a chance, you know, to mend its ways.
How are you rehabilitating a cat, Tom?
Like training the cat, therapy with the cat, get a leash on the cat.
Trained.
I can't believe we're in a world where we just give cats carte blanche and go, well, you know, it's a cat, isn't it?
You can train a cat to use either the litter tray or your
neighbour's flower bed.
Well, here's right. The thing. Let's be honest. Yeah. Have you trained the cat? You know, is this something? Is the fault with you? You know, are we blaming the parents here? Have the parents, allow this cat
nature,
to run
nurture,
amok?
It?
It is. It really is. Yeah.
Physic, hear thyself. Oh no! What is it? Physician, heal thyself. What is it?
I know what the phrase is, but it doesn't apply to this situation.
Look after your own cat.
Doctor, look after your own cat. It's the old expression. Yes. Doctor,
oh,
look after your own
doctor,
cat.
Doctor, I am the cat.
I am, yeah. I'm pretty sure that I can't remember who it is who wrote this in, but I don't think they're saying, also, I'm the cat at the end of it. I mean...
Connor.
It'd be a hell of a twist.
Connor, if you are the cat, then that's absolutely amazing, because not only have you managed to lick a chopping board, you've also managed to send an email.
Didn't Jeffrey Archer write a whole novel where, at the end, you found out it's a cat?
Really?
I think so.
Did he write Mog?
Was that his prison one?
I think Jeffrey Archer wrote a novel, and then I don't think so. I think the prison one was about a guy who cuts in the line to use the phone. he was writing about experience. I'm pretty sure there's a novel, or maybe it's a short story anyway, but the twist at the end is, by the way, I don't think he says, by the way, I'm a cat, but it's like, meow or something. There's a big spoiler. Anyway, yeah, so look, What are our options here to get a bit of closure?
Well, I think there's a compromise between, like you say, murdering a cat, and I think a little bit of training for your cat. And also, training can be a pleasant thing. I know a lot of people who think, oh, training involves shooting your cat with a water pistol or something like that every time they do something naughty, but actually, just reward them with treats. Give them better chopping boards in your house. Then they wouldn't have to go. They wouldn't have to go to chopping boards elsewhere. If you've got
Eat out for burgers when they've got steak at home?
Exactly. So if you get a little chopping board full of lovely little treats, little bits of fish and all that kind of stuff. Oh, the sort of good stuff.
Little bits of carp.
Carp.
Lovely bits.
Get the carp from next door.
Kill a carp. Yeah, absolutely. Kill multiple. Buy multiple carp and kill all of them. Chop them up. Give them some carp sushi. Then you can have, train them not to go. I mean, I think the going into other people's houses, that's only going to happen if what you've got in your house isn't good enough. Ditto, train them to use a loo.
Amen. I agree.
Nice.
All right.
All right.
Or buy three more cats. I think both good options.
Or buy three more cats or murder a cat. Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Hey, Clarky, read out your beef for me.
Okay, I've got Whiffy Beef from Stu via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch, please.
Get in touch, guys.
Evening, Beef Brothers and friends. I need your advice on, let's call it, Whiffy Beef. I'm an illustrator and work in a middle-sized art studio. I came in the other day and was taken aback by the sight of several of those car air fresheners shaped like trees hanging from one guy's angle poise lamp. Obviously, this was to poke fun at his awful BO. Oh, no. But he didn't get the hint. People are now not only moaning about his BO, but are now laughing behind his back. How could you guys get this delicate problem diffused without hurting anybody? Man, this is tough.
This is a sad beef, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, you can imagine pine needles with an undertone of BO. This needs sorting. Help. Cheers, Stew.
Right.
Ooh. I'd find out whoever the cunt was who'd done the air freshener trick, and I'd shit on their desk.
Beef-sized.
For starters.
Chin their biff.
That is one biff that's not going unchinned tonight.
That's a low blow. That's bullying, isn't it?
Yeah, that's awful stuff.
It is.
Like
it is bullying.
Playground tactics. That is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know. I mean, I know the art community is supposed to be quite, you know, catty, but that's also playground bullying, isn't it?
Like, sort of hippie artists in an art studio aren't known for their hygiene, so it can't just be the only guy who's smelling.
I mean, that's what I was going to say. It's like, what kind of fucking artist are you if you've got a problem with BO? Do you think fucking Jackson Pollock had links on? No? Jackson Pollock's going fucking batshit crazy with his fucking... Do you think Picasso smelt good?
Yeah. If you look at the most famous artists, they all look like they absolutely hum. You know, like Salvador Dali... You're absolutely right. There's no way. You know, he's cutting off bits of his own hair and twiddling it into his moustache. He's jizzing while he's working. He must fucking stink like a bloody old pot noodle. I swear to God, I think you're absolutely right. You've got to deal with it. It's like, pain is good for art.
Yeah, man,
the
totally.
Worst position an artist can be in is a comfortable one. That's what Picasso said, isn't it? And I think if you're sat next to somebody and you're breathing in, you know, all sort of lavender and all that kind of, you know, nonsense, you're probably sat next to an old lady. But apart from that, you're not going to be pushed to the realms of being the best creative you can. You've got to be in an uncomfortable position. There's no way you're going to create.
And Van Gogh.
Van Gogh, exactly.
Van Gogh, he stank of rotting ear. Like,
famously.
Hang on, did he keep it in his pocket?
Yeah. Did he give it to his wife or something?
I think he gave.
Did he post it to a lover?
Yeah, I think he posted it to a lover. Yeah. That's a huge swing, isn't it? You know,
that's a big
early dick pic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Did you just mail me your bib?
Yeah, no, I think the worst thing about this is the... Now, Stu seems like he's a sort of decent guy, but doesn't really want to rock the boat, okay? So he's not part of the bullying gang. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt here, Stu.
Yeah, that certainly seems to be implied.
But I don't think you can...
I think solidarity to your fellow artists. Stop washing.
That's what I was going to say. Out BO the BO and be like you were saying, like, oh, you don't have BO. What are you, a terrible artist or something?
Yeah. I'd put loads of air fresheners on my own. I'd like do it to myself. I'd put loads of air fresheners on my lamp and not wash for a fucking week and just spend the whole time eyeballing the rest of the cunt. I'd fucking love it, man. I'd just be illustrating, just staring them all out, fucking smelling my own pits. You fucking call yourself artist, you cunts. Go home to mom and dad. You don't know what art is. It's about fucking soil under the fingernails, you fucking part-time cunts. I'd love it, I would.
Yeah.
I'm all about this.
Tom, can I ask, have you been doing this already?
Because that it does sound quite a lot like the pre-gig chats you used to have with us before we go on stage at the Edinburgh Festival.
You soiled your fingernails again, Barry.
It's what I say to my wife and daughter before I come into the broom cupboard to record a podcast. Daddy's an artist, okay?
Yeah. Think you're the only one who can shit themselves? Well, think again, all right? And I'm not even wearing a nappy. No safety net. No safety net for Parry here. No safety net.
Oh, by the way, Clarky Crosby, I've posted envelopes for you. You'll get them in a few days. I haven't heard a word you guys have been saying so far in this one. I'm keeping my headphones on for a reason.
That reminds me, I do have to pop over to my neighbours because they took a package in for me the other day and they've been treating me really nicely ever since. That's 500 quid right there.
You need to remind them what fucking art's about. Do you know what I mean? Awful scenes in the art studio.
Is it Stuart? Is that his name?
Stu. Yeah,
Stu.
Yeah, he needs to do something because inaction is what, you know, like bad things happen when good people do nothing. And
that's it.
You know, doing nothing will, he's condoning the bullying.
Silence is violence.
Whose side are you coming down on? We're all coming down on the side of.
Pull yourself up, move your table so it's closer to the BO table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just solidarity with him, you know?
It's got to be solid. It's got to be solidarity.
Yeah.
Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your
beef. Beef solved. If it wasn't an art studio, that guy would have to go.
Absolutely. If this was like any other workplace, then oh my god, you've got to have a word with the smelly guy.
Stinky Peter's got to go.
Yeah, fuck me. Sat next to that all day trying to do the accounts. Nightmare.
Especially when it gets in the air conditioning in the office building, it starts circulating.
Oh, for a second there, I thought you meant like the bloke was crawling around like John McClane. It's like, 'cause that's a separate problem.
We know exactly where you are, mate. Just because you're in an air vent doesn't mean. Put your shoes back on, for God's sake.
Oh, when was the last time you washed that vest? Right, Steve. Do you have a beef that you would like us to solve?
Yeah.
Is it about the shits in your front garden?
No. Ironically, ironically, that's not even in my top two beefs at the moment. That's where my life is at the moment, Tom. So my new housemate, he, very nice man. But we've been friends for like 10 years, right? So I thought I knew him. I thought I knew everything about him. I was aware of what the flaws of our relationship might be going into the house move. But what I've discovered when I've got here is he loves burning stuff, like more than I would want in a house. He's bought an incinerator, which is basically a metal tin that sits outside, and he just burns stuff rather than recycling it. So we're talking any cardboard from an Amazon order, like not even stuff that's burnable. He was burning aluminium the other day, and he just starts these. And I get home from gigs, and he's just there next to a roaring incinerator, just on his own drinking a beer and just chucking cardboard into it, and it causing huge environmental damage in the process. And I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to. I don't know if I live with a pyromaniac.
Have you talked to him about this burning thing? Have you said? How long has the incinerator been in the picture?
We owned an incinerator before we owned a microwave. That's how high a priority.
And then as soon as you bought the microwave, straight in the incinerator.
Is the incinerator, is it? Are we talking about like a chimney? Are we talking about like a, is it like an iron kind of thing with a spout?
I'm looking at it now. It's a sort of basically a metal bin with little holes in the bottom, and then a lid
has like a funnel in it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's an incinerator. It's not like a, it's not a chimney. It's an incinerator. Yeah.
It's like a metal bin.
It's like a metal bin with holes in the bottom and a little funnel spout in the dustbin lid.
Yeah.
Because that's different to a chimney. Exactly. Yeah. Because I'd say, because my dad's big into chimneys, and that's more like, you know, it's a Friday night, let's have a fire in the back garden, sit around it, tell tales and drink a beer. That feels, it feels a bit more or a fire this pit is, this people
is,
have.
This is, it's Friday night, let's destroy some shit. Like that's this, that's what that is.
Wow.
Do you think he's burning loads of stuff, but into all of that, throwing in things that might incriminate him in crimes?
Yeah.
Because like, do you know, because like, if he's like, well, I just burn everything, just so happens that, yeah, there's going to be a few human teeth in there. That's just the way it goes, and burn everything, don't I? So like,
it's just my thing.
It feels like, you know, if he's setting fire to like gloves or workman's clothes or stuff like that, then it feels like maybe the aluminium's just a cover for the, well, the aluminium is a cover, it's the lid, but the it's just a sort of front for all of the other stuff he has to burn for to sort of keep him, a high-ranking civil servant, out of the you know, well, out of jail.
It's very difficult to know because, you know, I'm not always here to witness the burning. That's the thing, guys. I can't watch the incinerator every day. You know, I don't know what else he's burning. I just know I come back sometimes and there's more ash in there than there was before. So who knows what he's burnt. We also have a fire pit. So we had, so there was a stage where we had no microwave, but we did have a fire pit and an incinerator.
So he loves fire. But a fire pit, I think, like you say, like Tom's dad has got, you know, that's a social thing. You know, you're out there.
It is social.
3:23 a.m. doing your admin, pissed out of your mind. You know, just having, well, actually, having a good, you know, time.
At my aforementioned birthday party, we were in the garden. The fire pit was on. It was a nice atmosphere. Tom insisted in front of, you know, well, less than 30 guests for legal reasons.
Of course.
Sure, for legal reasons.
That's why we didn't make the cut.
That's the reason.
No,
yeah, legal reasons. Okay, Steve. Okay, yeah.
No, sure. Comedians were invited to the party.
Seems like a smart move.
Any podcasters?
Yeah. It's a blanket policy I have. yeah, Tom then fired up the incinerator. So we then had two fires going on. And the incinerator is way more smoky. It's, you know, and my guests, you know, they weren't really sure what was going on. They didn't know why there was so much fire at the party. And it's difficult to bring that up with someone, you know, because he's quite drunk. And it's like, that's the thing. There's a link to the drinking as well. It's like when he drinks, he's more likely to start a fire. And that worries me because we have got, the whole garden is wooden decking. So that's
Right. So it's going to be an inferno at some stage.
Yeah,
you know what? One thing I would say,
I mean, I can show you that. Let me show.
We're gonna get. Okay, yeah, that's wooden decking surrounded by
incinerator,
surrounded by wooden fences. Yeah, I can see the incinerator right by the back fence as well. Yeah. So if a little spark leaps off, that fence is going up.
And he'd like it
big time.
If that fence goes up, he's gonna watch it, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's gonna watch it burn.
That's why he's bought a house with all wood outside. Just, it's a future prospect.
It's tricky, isn't it, this one?
It is tricky because part of me, you already have the things I was initially going to suggest. You got a fire pit. I was trying to kind of civilize it, but he's clearly,
like,
he needs
like a nicotine patch.
Yeah, exactly. And then also I was going to be like, well, you know, putting decking down or making it a more civilized space, but clearly he's got that as well. So the only other thing I was thinking is,
does not stop him.
Maybe he should leave well alone, because maybe it's an itch he needs to scratch, and this is the best possible way to scratch it. Because if you take away the incinerator and he's got a literal burning desire, what if he starts popping the fence on fire, or, you know, your sock drawer?
Yeah.
It might be for the best that he's scratching that itch.
Yeah, let him do the fire in a controlled bin.
I mean, he's under a lot of work stress, we know that. It's a stressful time for our dear civil servants. It's a tricky time. And if he is attempting to deal with the pandemic, then maybe he just needs to let off steam in a way that, you know, bowling just won't cut it.
Is he someone who doesn't trust the recycling process? Because that's something I've been told on numerous times. It's like, actually, recycling's not that great, and they'll ship it off to China, and they'll just do bad things with it. And like, is he kind of like, is it that he knows more than us?
No, it's a complete disregard for the environment.
Okay.
He doesn't work in the environment department. You know, he doesn't care.
Is there any chance he's burning like government files and stuff?
Has Witty got him on the cover up?
Yeah,
maybe. I've not even thought of that.
That could be
like
a whole
Succession. It's like he's the guy who burns all.
He's
the
cousin Greg.
Dirt.
Yeah, yeah. He could be. He's the little. He's the patsy. He's the pawn.
Who's if he's high up in the civil service, fucking hell, you need to try and intercept some of these fires, Steve.
Yeah,
there could be a big story here.
When he goes out, you've got to go through the embers. I tell you what you might actually need to do is you might need to get yourself an incinerator cam. So that's like a small little cam that is permanently, it's pretty much where you're sat, just in the plant behind you, just pointing out towards the garden so you can see every time he goes out there. And if he's going out there with big old box files, emptying in there, in amongst all the aluminium and the Amazon boxes and stuff, then you know something's up. You could be the whistleblower. You could
imagine.
You could save the fate of the. This is it. You could save the entire nation.
I'll be sat in a parliamentary committee like Dominic Cummings, going, "Well, I saw him emptying PPE gear into our dodgy PPE gear into our incinerator."
Exactly. You could be. You know what? It's very rare that someone says I could be the next Dominic Cummings and means it in a positive way, but you could be.
I mean, think what it would do for my profile.
Just want people to know you.
You could be really funny as well in that parliamentary committee meeting, and people will be like, "Oh, and he's funny as well," and then you get some bookings for it, like squeezing a tight five around the evidence.
Yeah,
segue into a bit of material straight down the lens. You'll know where the camera is. This is going out live.
slip in my bit about shit sticks and just hope it lands.
live at the Apollo. We've got to be watching, surely.
Because after he gave evidence, Cummings has been booked for the next series of the stand-up sketch show. They loved it. They absolutely loved it. It was brilliant.
They're going to recreate his trip to
Barnard Castle. Yeah.
It's going to be quite nice. The Durham Drive. Yeah. Russell Kane in the front of a car. Oh, I can't see perfectly.
Luke McQueen playing his wife. It's going to be brilliant.
It's going to be a real treat.
Adam Rowe checking his eyesight.
I think you've got to keep an eye on that, man. It's not beef solved, but this is a case we want to hear more about.
Beef ongoing,
yeah.
Slow cooking.
Yeah, well, I'll update you. What I'm hoping, what I'm hoping is that, because we've just moved into the house, there's a lot of packages and a lot of cardboard. So I'm hoping it's a phase. Once we've got through the kind of moving period, there'll be less things to burn. But that, we'll see.
I mean, I must admit, as someone who's recently done a move, I have to do lots of trips to the tip, and it's a bore lake, and there's fun in fire, isn't there?
There is fun in fire.
You can see where, I can see where he's coming from, but it's not good for the planet.
It's not ideal, is it?
But what is these days, eh? Bloody hell. bloody planet's getting right on my fucking nerves. Anyway, keep us informed. Beef ongoing.
So, Steve, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a real pleasure having you on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a lovely afternoon.
Do you want to tell us before you go about buffering? When is it on? Where can people see it? Yes. All of that kind of stuff.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I've got a sitcom coming out on ITV2 called Buffering that I've written with Ian Sterling, who I think you've had on this show.
We have had Ian Sterling. Yeah. He's the show. A good friend of the show. Nice guy. Great guy.
He couldn't make it today, so were you.
Yeah. I was actually with him when he got the text at 8:45.
I'm going to really make these guys sweat for a little bit.
No wonder you let us stew, yeah.
It's when I send the WhatsApp and then immediately delete it and have to take the word Ian out and then resend it with Steve in it. Oh, it's always bad.
But you left the congratulations on the sitcom in there just to keep it general. It's coming out August 5th after Love Island, which is convenient.
Smart move.
It's the voice of Love Island.
Oh, great.
So people can just get double Ian Sterling on a Thursday night from August 5th, and then it all go up on the ITV Hub and people can watch it. And I think it's good. I'm really proud of it. I hope people like it, and I'm actually terrified that they won't like it, and I will read about it online.
Ignore all of that. Just if you're really happy with it, that's all that counts. That's it. I can't wait to see it.
But it's not all that counts, is it? It's not all that counts.
No, you're right. It's not all that counts. ratings and a recommission, that sort of stuff. But let's not burden you with that at the moment. Just be satisfied in this moment before anyone's seen it, when it's still just all it exists as a you know, it exists only as a little Instagram advert.
Yeah,
that's it's, yes, you know, it's a great time. Enjoy it.
It is a good time. Thank you, guys. Yeah,
and thanks for coming on the pod.
Well, there you go, eh? Like Halley's Comet, once every 4 or 5 years he appears. Oh, no, hang on, that's the World Cup, isn't it? Halley's Comet, once every 50 years he appears, and then he's gone. We won't put him again for another 50
years. What a way to tell him. Sorry, you're going to be in your 80s before you're back on the show, Steve. Sorry, that's mate, we loved you.
What a return it'll be, though. That'll be,
yeah.
That is the nature of these celestial beings, I'm afraid. They don't. You have to make the most of them while you've got them.
Whereas, you know, John Robbins, we've got him on every other week, but Steve...
Well, John Robbins is the moon, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's the moon underwater, certainly, yeah. So anyway, I got, talking of Steve Bajaya, which we are, so if, that's the Always. Theme of the episode this week, Steve Bajaya. Talking of Steve, I got a message on Saturday morning, the very sober hour of 11:45 Saturday morning.
That's not like Abu.
That doesn't feel like.
Well, he's about to go to bed, isn't he? Let's be honest. Yeah. he's turning in.
He's just lying, staring at the ceiling, chewing the pillow. So he said, genuinely woken up today to find that my housemate has burnt all the wooden spoons.
Oh, so
it continues, yeah.
Well, that's pyro behaviour. If you're burning it wooden is, isn't spoons.
It? I get it. Like, if he's going, oh, I just want to burn, like, rather than taking stuff to the recycling, I just want to burn that. You can sort of understand it. It's mad, but you can sort of understand it. But if he's, like, literally looking around the house going, right. He's not doing it for a YouTube channel. Or it's not like, you know, that thing of does this blend or something. He's not doing a does this burn. He's just walking around the house going, yep, this will go in.
Fuck me. If you're burning wooden spoons, you need help. That's intense. That's severe.
I mean, we're very much shutting the stable door after the horse is bolted. He asked for help.
we've put the whole stable down.
The stable doors, yeah. The stable doors got in the incinerator first, straight off.
Well, if you have a pyromaniac flatmate, or indeed any kind of flatmate beef that you'd like to get in touch with us about, it's beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We've got a load of episodes recording very, very soon, actually. So it would be great to get your beefs in. beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Also, don't forget, if you like Steve Bajaya, then there is a whole bonus beef with him over on our Patreon.
And honestly, you have to make the most of Steve while we've got him, because 50 years, people. So get on board, get to the Patreon, get him while he's gone, you know?
Get him while he's gone. What do you mean? Have you burnt Steve?
You seen the Wicker Man?
He burnt so bright.
It was a hell of a finale.
In an incinerator in the back garden.
Well, there you go. So hop on board to the Patreon, as well as the bonus beefs. There's also a lovely community of people. There's a lovely way to get in touch. There's a whole bunch of extra podcasts that you immediately get as well. So
yeah,
get on board.
We recommend get that £4 tier, because you get all of the bonus beefs. You get all of the bonus episodes.
It's a coffee, isn't it? At the end of the day, it's a coffee a month.
Exactly. It's a coffee a month for all of this fantastic extra content. And, you know, I can tell you now, that money goes directly to us. That's one thing. A lot of people saying, oh, are you giving some of it to charity and stuff like that? No, we can rest assured, none of that money is going anywhere other than our pockets.
We have found the legal loophole there, that we've registered Clarkie as a charity.
It's not a legal loophole, even. I mean, they took one look at me and they went, fair enough.
Yeah.
Is there any way we can help out?
We're now doing, if you watch any telly in the middle of the day, we're now doing some quite sad emotive adverts where we show Clarkie's face, play some music over the top, and believe you me, it's really working.
He's just looking longingly at a Crown Green Bowls club. The other side of the fence, just £4 a month will buy this man a membership.
Just text hi arse to this number, and that puts 10 quid straight in his pocket.
Which is rolling, halfway up
we've
his
got
back.
A rolling thermometer, which is just my arse gradually raising when it hits the target. Back of my head.
It dings like a bell, doesn't it?
Back of the head. So,
the old travel pillow himself.
Anyway, today's episode was produced, as ever, by Emma Corsham. Caution team!
Caution team!
Cheers, everyone! And I really mean this! Bye! Come riddle me this, come riddle me true. A Patreon neighborhood watch call for you. Please be upstanding, don't sit and don't squat. We won't be completed till we've done the lot. I'll tell you of someone whose face is crud, but their personality is really quite good. They say that she is made out of wood, but I think she is human. Her name's Helen Budd.
Okay, all right. Apologies to Helen for saying that her face was crud. I mean, come on. Listen, I hate to stop the proceedings this early on, but...
Also, I managed to rhyme everything apart from her surname.
I got trapped in a rhyming pattern of A-A-A-B.
Apologies, Helen, and thanks very much. She's subscribed for the year as well. She's gone annual Patreon, and yet we say her face is
really very good.
Can I say that crud, a bit like when Michael Jackson said things were bad, well, you know, we are saying things could be crud, could mean good, you know, in the same way that when people say things are...
It could be it. It couldn't rhyme with it.
Right.
Well, anyway, I'll crud, tell crud. Thee...
You don't tell... give me crud and bud.
No, I'm giving you crud and bud. I said good and wood is what you threw in the middle there.
Carry on.
I'll tell thee it true. I'll tell it to me and I'll tell it to Sue. And let me tell you, I've got a dilemma. Who shall I hang out with, Sue or Gemma?
Sue!
Gemma!
Gemma is crud!
No.
Yes.
No!
Yes.
I'll tell you a tale, I'll tell you it, but it will be folly.
Okay.
I'll jump up and down, I'll use a brolly. I'll tell you a tale one final time, oh no!
I'll tell you a tale of a lovely lime.
Daniel Jolly!
Daniel Jolly.
Oh, this is going to take fucking ages, isn't
it?
No. This
one. To hear this tale, please get up early and know I've eaten a curly whirly, and I'll tell you something I feel quite churlish. Please tell someone about Paul Shirley.
Okay, all right. Now I've got it now. Okay, I've got it now. I know the system works. Okay. Let me tell you now, hear me, I say. I haven't got it, actually.
It doesn't sound like you've quite got it licked.
I haven't got it at all. Okay, here we go. All right. Okay. Let me tell you now as I'm on my way, I'll tell it true, you'll hear me say, this fellow is a lovely bloke, his name is Chris Day.
Yes.
I told a tale so hard I marked my spleen.
What did you do?
Oh, wow. That is some hard telling.
Please don't tell
us. Please come and help me, Aiden Parker Dean.
I marked my spleen and it hurt a lot. Let me tell you about the hair I've got. It is in the shape of a quiff. And I marked the spleen of Max Smith.
Oh, I've told a tale so hard and so true. I've marked my spleen. Let me show it to you. I've got it here in a Tupperware. If only you would only care, but you're run away and say, oh, that's gruesome. And now I'll show it to Joby Newson.
Joby?
Joby? Joby. Would it be Joby? Joby Job. Joby Newson.
I marked my spleen when I tried to de-lice. Please come and help me, Ian Guidice.
Ian Guidice is a strange individual. Because they've joined and left the Patreon about 8 times. Their name is constantly cropping up. So thank you. I mean, maybe they just think, well, it doesn't cost any extra to leave at the end of the month and rejoin. And they just like us mispronouncing their names and getting the. You can get, you know, if you want to leave and rejoin, get back into the
I don't know.
Double bubble on the double bubble on the Neighbourhood Watch roll call. Why not?
I marked my spleen till my spleen fell off. And then I said, call Lee Myers Cough.
I marked my spleen, it was totally rocking. And then I called Robert Cocking.
I marked my spleen and I bought a Furby. I threw the Furby at Andrew Werby.
Who caught the Furby and ate it keen. I said, don't do that. Help, Naomi!
Oh, rhyming keen with Naomi is my only regret. I'll tell it now to Helen Prevett.
And that concludes today's Patreon Neighbourhood Watch Roll Call!
Bye, everyone! Roll Call!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.